It's episode 90 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb. On this, the day after Independence Day in the U.S., we'll read Numbers chapter 3, Mark chapter 14, and Psalms chapter 12 from the Contemporary English Version. Numbers chapter 3. When the Lord talked with Moses on Mount Sinai, Aaron's four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, were the ones to be ordained as priests. But the Lord killed Nadab and Abihu in the Sinai desert when they used fire that was unacceptable in their offering to the Lord. And because Nadab and Abihu had no sons, only Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests with their father Aaron. The Lord said to Moses, "Assign the Levite tribe to Aaron the priest. They will be his assistants and work at the sacred tent for him and for all the Israelites. The Levites will serve the community by being responsible for the furnishings of the tent. They are assigned to help Aaron and his sons who have been appointed to be priests. Anyone else who tries to perform the duties of a priest must be put to death. Moses, I have chosen these Levites from all Israel, and they will belong to me in a special way. When I killed the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, I decided that the firstborn sons in every Israelite family and the firstborn males of their flocks and herds would be mine. But now I accept these Levites in place of the firstborn sons of the Israelites." In the Sinai desert, the Lord said to Moses, "Now I want you to count the men and boys in the Levite tribe by families and by clans. Include everyone at least a month old." So Moses obeyed and counted them. Levi's three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, had become the heads of their own clans. Gershon's sons were Libni and Shimei. Kohath's sons were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And Merari's sons were Mahli and Mushi. These were the sons and grandsons of Levi, and they had become the leaders of the Levite clans. The two Gershon clans were the Libnites and the Shimeites, and they had 7,500 men and boys at least 1 month old. The Gershonites, under the leadership of Eliasaph, son of Lael, were to camp on the west side of the sacred tent. Their duties at the tent included taking care of the tent itself, along with its outer covering, the curtain for the entrance, the curtains hanging inside the courtyard around the tent, as well as the curtain and ropes for the entrance to the courtyard and its altar. The Gershonites were responsible for setting these things up and taking them down. The four Kohath clans were the Amramites, Izharites, Hebronites, and the Uzzielites, and they had 8,600 men and boys at least 1 month old. The Kohathites, under the leadership of Elizaphan, son of Uzziel, were to camp on the south side of the sacred tent. Their duties at the tent included taking care of the sacred chest, the table for the sacred bread, the lampstand, the altars, the objects used for worship, and the curtain in front of the most holy place. The Kohathites were responsible for setting these things up and taking them down. Eleazar, son of Aaron, was the head of the Levite leaders, and he made sure that the work at the sacred tent was done. The two Merari clans were the Mahlites and the Mushites, and they had 6,200 men and boys at least 1 month old. The Merarites, under the leadership of Zuriel, son of Abihail, were to camp on the north side of the sacred tent. Their duties included taking care of the tent frames and the pieces that held the tent up, the bars, the posts, the stands, and its other equipment. They were also in charge of the posts that supported the courtyard, as well as their stands, tent pegs, and ropes. The Merari clans were responsible for setting these things up and taking them down. Moses, Aaron, and his sons were to camp in front of the sacred tent on the east side and to make sure that the Israelites worshipped in the proper way. Anyone else who tried to do the work of Moses and Aaron was to be put to death. So Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord and counted the Levites by their clans. The total number of Levites, at least 1 month old, was 22,000. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a list and count the firstborn sons at least 1 month old in each of the Israelite families. They belong to me, but I will accept the Levites as substitutes for them, and I will accept the Levites' livestock as substitutes for the Israelites' firstborn livestock." Moses obeyed the Lord and counted the firstborn sons. There were 22,273 of them. Then the Lord said, The Levites will belong to me and will take the place of the firstborn sons. Their livestock will take the place of the Israelites' firstborn livestock. But since there are more firstborn sons than Levites, the extra 273 men and boys must be bought back from me. For each one, you are to collect 5 pieces of silver, weighed according to the official standards. This money must then be given to Aaron and his sons. Moses collected the silver from the extra 273 firstborn men and boys, and it amounted to 1,365 pieces of silver, weighed according to the official standards. Then he gave it to Aaron and his sons, just as the Lord had commanded. Mark chapter 14. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of thin bread. The chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses were planning how they could sneak around and have Jesus arrested and put to death. They were saying, "We must not do it during the festival because the people will riot." Jesus was eating in Bethany at the home of Simon, who once had leprosy, when a woman came in with a very expensive bottle of sweet-smelling perfume. After breaking it open, she poured the perfume on Jesus' head. This made some of the guests angry, and they complained, "Why such a waste? We could have sold this perfume for more than 300 silver coins and given the money to the poor." So they started saying cruel things to the woman. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing for me. You will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want to, you can give to them. But you won't always have me here with you. She has done all she could by pouring perfume on my body to prepare it for burial. You may be sure that whenever the good news is told all over the world, people will remember what she has done, and they will tell others." Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 disciples. He went to the chief priests and offered to help them arrest Jesus. They were glad to hear this, and they promised to pay him. So Judas started looking for a good chance to betray Jesus. It was the first day of the Festival of Thin Bread, and the Passover lambs were being killed. Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal?" Jesus said to 2 of the disciples, "Go into the city, where you will meet a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and when he goes into a house, say to the owner, 'Our teacher wants to know if you have a room where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples.' The owner will take you upstairs and show you a large room furnished and ready for you to use. Prepare the meal there." The 2 disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover meal. While Jesus and the 12 disciples were eating together that evening, he said, "The one who will betray me is now eating with me." This made the disciples sad, and one after another they said to Jesus, "You surely don't mean me." He answered, "It is one of you 12 men who is eating from this dish with me. The Son of Man will die, just as the scriptures say. But it is going to be terrible for the one who betrays me. That man would be better off if he had never been born." During the meal, Jesus took some bread in his hands. He blessed the bread and broke it. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, it is my body." Jesus picked up a cup of wine and gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples and they all drank some. Then he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for many people, and with it God makes his agreement. From now on I will not drink any wine until I drink new wine in God's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to his disciples, "All of you will reject me, as the scriptures say, 'I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised to life, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter spoke up, "Even if all the others reject you, I never will." Jesus replied, "This very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will say 3 times that you don't know me." But Peter was so sure of himself that he said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never say I don't know you." All the others said the same thing. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he told them, "Sit here while I pray." Jesus took along Peter, James, and John. He was sad and troubled and told them, "I am so sad that I feel as if I am dying. Stay here and keep awake with me." Jesus walked on a little way. Then he knelt down on the ground and prayed, "Father, If it is possible, don't let this happen to me. Father, you can do anything. Don't make me suffer by drinking from this cup, but do what you want and not what I want." When Jesus came back and found the disciples sleeping, he said to Simon Peter, "Are you asleep? Can't you stay awake for just 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you won't be tested. You want to do what is right, but you are weak." Jesus went back and prayed the same prayer. But when he returned to the disciples, he found them sleeping again. They simply could not keep their eyes open, and they did not know what to say. When Jesus returned to the disciples the third time, he said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough of this. The time has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let's go. The one who will betray me is already here." Jesus was still speaking when Judas the betrayer came up. He was one of the 12 disciples, and a mob of men armed with swords and clubs were with him. They had been sent by the chief priests, the nation's leaders, and the teachers of the law of Moses. Judas had told them ahead of time, "Arrest the man I greet with a kiss. Tie him up and lead him away." Judas walked right up to Jesus and said, "Teacher." Then Judas kissed him, and the men grabbed Jesus and arrested him. Someone standing there pulled out a sword. He struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said to the mob, "Why do you come with swords and clubs to arrest me like a criminal? Day after day I was with you and taught in the temple, and you didn't arrest me. But what the scriptures say must come true." All of Jesus' disciples ran off and left him. One of them was a young man who was wearing only a linen cloth, and when the men grabbed him, he left the cloth behind and ran away naked. Jesus was led off to the high priest. Then the chief priests, the nation's leaders, and the teachers of the law of Moses all met together. Peter had followed at a distance, and when he reached the courtyard of the high priest's house, he sat down with the guards to warm himself beside a fire. The chief priests and the whole council tried to find someone to accuse Jesus of a crime so they could put him to death, but they could not find anyone to accuse him. Many people did tell lies against Jesus, but they did not agree on what they said. Some men stood up and lied about him. They said, "We heard him say he would tear down this temple that we built. He also claimed that in 3 days he would build another one without any help." But even then they did not agree on what they said. The high priest stood up in the council and asked Jesus, "Why don't you say something in your own defense? Don't you hear the charges they are making against you?" But Jesus kept quiet and did not say a word. The high priest asked him another question, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the glorious God?" "Yes, I am," Jesus answered. "Soon you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right side of God all-powerful and coming with the clouds of heaven." At once the high priest ripped his robe apart and shouted, "Why do we need more witnesses? You heard him claim to be God. What is your decision?" They all agreed he should be put to death. Some of the people started spitting on Jesus. They blindfolded him, hit him with their fists, and said, "Tell us who hit you." Then the guards took charge of Jesus and beat him. While Peter was still in the courtyard, a servant girl of the high priest came up and saw Peter warming himself by the fire. She stared at him and said, "You were with Jesus from Nazareth." Peter replied, "That isn't true. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any idea what you mean." He went out to the gate, and a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw Peter again and said to the people standing there, "This man is one of them." "No, I'm not," Peter replied. A little while later, some of the people said to Peter, "You certainly are one of them. You're a Galilean." This time Peter began to curse and swear, "I don't even know the man you're talking about." At once the rooster crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had told him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will say 3 times that you don't know me." So Peter started crying. Psalms chapter 12. Please help me, Lord. All who were faithful and all who were loyal have disappeared. Everyone tells lies and no one is sincere. Won't you chop off all flattering tongues that brag so loudly? They say to themselves, "We are great speakers. No one else has a chance." But you, Lord, tell them, "I will do something." The poor are mistreated, and helpless people moan. I'll rescue all who suffer. Our Lord, you are true to your promises, and your word is like silver heated 7 times in a fiery furnace. You will protect us and always keep us safe from those people. But all who are wicked will keep on strutting, while everyone praises their shameless deeds. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, there were 22,000 Levites, at least a month old. Sounds like they had plenty of men to take care of the tabernacle. And isn't it interesting to compare the Gospels with one another? In Mark here, we saw that someone cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, but no mention is made that Jesus healed it. Any idea why that would be? Psalm chapter 12 is another one from David asking God's help against his enemies. No matter how bad things got for him, he never gave up faith in God. And more importantly, God never gave up on David. Well, I hope your Independence Day celebration was a good one if you're here in the U.S., and probably many of you are taking today off as well, making it a long weekend. For those of you that are working, I'm right there with you. Bills don't get paid if I don't work, so it's nose to the grindstone. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.